of tradition. Before I begin reading the scriptures, let me give you a little background. Jewish tradition, of course, when people formulate a doctrine of tradition, they always try to go back to the Bible for some authority. The Jews would often go back to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 14. And the Lord commanded me, this is Moses speaking at that time, to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land, whether you go over to possess it. So the Jews claim that there was a body of oral tradition that was given by Moses that was not recorded in Holy Scripture. Of course, I believe that the things that Moses was referring to were the things that were written in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. But while our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, the Jewish people had a great body of unwritten tradition, laws and rules and interpretations of Scripture. 200 years after our Lord ascended back to heaven, this was finally put on paper and became known as the Mishnah. And then, of course, there were later interpretations and commentaries written on the Mishnah. And a person could still get this today if they wanted to read it. I wouldn't have much interest in it, but it shows the Jewish interpretations and traditions that will be referred to in the portion of Scripture that we'll be studying tonight. Of course, when you come over into Christianity, we find that churches have also developed a doctrine of traditions in Roman Catholicism and Greek Orthodoxy. They have very involved doctrines of tradition. And really, their doctrine is the same as the ancient Jews. They recognize the written Word of God, but they also put equal emphasis on traditions, and as I say, have involved a very complex doctrine dealing with these traditions and finding in them authority. What happens inevitably is that the distinction between tradition and Scripture is blurred. I remember years ago buying a book up in Detroit in a used bookstore, and it was a book about Jewish customs. And I thought it was about Bible customs, but it was actually about modern Jewish customs. But it was still interesting and informative. And I'm not familiar enough with modern Judaism to know what group of modern Jews it was dealing with. But it was dealing with the customs and just informing an outsider what their traditions were and what they believed and what they did. And one of the things that I noticed in reading that book is that the distinction between Scripture and other books or traditions was blurred. In fact, I could not tell from the book that they had any different attitude toward the Bible, or at least toward the Old Testament, the first 39 books, than from the other, the Mishnah and the Midrash and the other Jewish books. Now, as I've said, it is very easy to point to other people. When you go back in the Reformation period and you read those theologians, you'll find that they had the Protestants would have hundreds of pages of debate with Roman Catholic theologians talking about the authority of Scripture, written Scripture, as contrasted with the authority of oral tradition. And it's been customary, many times I've heard this in my life, somebody would be preaching on a portion of Scripture like Matthew 15 and would end up spending all their time castigating Roman Catholic theologians, something like that. Well, I'm not going to say there's no place for that, but I want to try to make a point. You know, it doesn't help us just to dwell on somebody else's error. The thing that you need to understand, and this is the point that I want to make, the ancient Jews did not form traditions just to be doing so. These various branches of Christendom have not developed a doctrine of tradition just because they wanted to be honorary. There's something in the nature of man that finds a great importance in tradition. And what you're going to find out is people didn't do this because they were Jews or because they were Catholics or because they were Greek Orthodox. They did it because they were people. And I'll let you know a little secret. We're people too. And it's easy to point the finger at somebody else, but what you're going to find out is that Baptist churches can have traditions that mean just as much to them as Scripture. Now, they won't ever say that. You know, like the preacher that he was up preaching and he beating the Bible on the pulpit. Then he'd lay it down. Then he'd pound on the Bible for a while. And he said, I've wore five of these out. And, you know, you can wear the Bible out without ever knowing what's in it. And that you carry it around under your arm. Say, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is my only rule of faith and practice. And that's a good statement. Historically, Protestants and Baptists have claimed to believe that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. But saying that and putting it into practice are two different things. And when you see people and other traditions formulating and holding to tradition, the key is you better look at yourself and say, now, if that's what human nature tends to, that means that's what my human nature is going to tend to. And I need to be very careful about it. And so it's always important that we see our own danger. How many people, and I'm talking about Baptist people now, comfort themselves that they believe the Bible and that they're in a church that believes the Bible. But you can believe the Bible all you want to if you don't know what's in it. And really, there's a lot of people say they believe the Bible and all they mean is they believe the traditions of their church. And they really have no idea what's in the Bible. And I hope to emphasize that tonight, that there is only one antidote for the danger of tradition. And that is a loving and zealous and studious approach to the Bible. If you're not studying the Bible, don't talk to me about tradition. I'm up to here with Baptist preachers walking around with big Bibles under their arms and not studying them. You're just as much a traditionalist as anybody else. And we need to see the danger that we're in, not just the danger that other people are in. Now, let's go through this portion of Scripture here. We'll deal with 20 verses tonight. And I want to divide them into some topics. First of all, in the first two verses, we're going to see that men adhere to tradition more zealously than they do to the Holy Scripture. In Matthew 15, verse 1 and 2, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now, the people in Galilee looked up to the people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of Judaism. That's where the schools, that's where the famous rabbis were. And so it says that you had some scribes and Pharisees, notice, which were of Jerusalem. This was a very important delegation. I'm sure the people in Galilee were awed by these delegates sent down from Jerusalem to interrogate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice that these people did not come with a Bible in their hand, but they came to the Lord, and the question was, why do thy disciples... Now, they were masters of psychology. They didn't jump right on the Lord Jesus. They dealt with his disciples. Why do your disciples transgress not the word of God, but the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now, the Jews at this time had very involved traditions involving the washing of the hands before a meal. It had nothing to do with cleanliness. This didn't have to do with washing your hands before you eat so you wouldn't have germs. This had to do with ceremonial defilement. And they had all kind of laws. It took at least as much water as would fit into half an eggshell. It had to be poured over the fingers. It had to be able to run down the arm, drip off the elbow. I mean, very specific laws. You've heard me say sometimes this fellow was so fastidious that he would wash a banana before he ate it. I was kind of joking about that. You know, they had these rules on how you had to wash, and you even had to wash several times during the meal. And the interesting thing is these men had become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it seems like suddenly they weren't very interested in these traditions anymore. And so these scribes and Pharisees come, and they say, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? I mean, here they are. They're upset. They come all the way from Jerusalem. But they weren't upset about somebody not listening to the Bible. They weren't upset about what Moses had written or about what Isaiah had written. It was the traditions of the elders. And you've heard me say this a thousand times. People will fight you quicker over tradition than they ever will over the Bible. You know, I'll give you an illustration. I remember I was a member of a church years ago, and I noticed that they never preached the gospel. And I got to noticing that. And I thought, I'm going to count and see. And this is not a good way to get anything out of church. But I'm going to count how many Sunday mornings I can sit here without hearing the gospel. And well, up until just recently, I remembered how many Sundays it was. It was over 10. But I sat there for Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, never heard the gospel. I don't know how long they went because I finally left the church. But that place was full. I mean, people sit there every Sunday, never hear the gospel preached. Now, I can tell you what they would have noticed. They had a place at the front of the church where people would come and kneel and pray. They called it an altar. If the preacher, nothing in the Bible about that. If the preacher got up and said, we're going to take this altar out of here, they'd have noticed that the first week. They'd run the preacher off. I mean, right now. But you could stand in the pulpit and not preach the gospel and they'd never notice it. You get how this gets closer to home than we want to think? Men are more zealous for traditions than they ever are for the Holy Scripture. Now you say, why? Well, let me tell you why. Because we live in a monkey-see, monkey-do world. And the human race, by and large, is a monkey-see, monkey-do group. Tradition is simple. Tradition requires no thought. It requires no study. That's what my aunt used to do. That's what my old grandpa used to do. That's what we've always done. But the Scripture is often complex. The Scripture requires prayer. It requires study. There are some things in the Scripture that you can't simply boil down to a simple proposition. You have things like Christian liberty, where people can even differ. And like I say, tradition is so simple. And men by nature, you know, we're mentally lazy. We just want somebody to lay it out. We see it. We're going to do it. That's what's always been done. It's so much easier than having to open the Bible and study it and pray over it and make your life, make it a lifetime goal to understand what God has said. Tradition is so much easier. You say, well, we don't have to worry about tradition. Why, certainly we do. The only way that we're ever going to avoid being lost in tradition is that if every generation anew studies for themselves the Bible and makes the Bible their only rule of faith and practice, it's going to take more than carrying the Bible under our arm. It's going to take more than quoting John 3:16 5,000 times. It's going to take studying whole books of the Bible and taking the Bible serious. We had a situation it's been several years ago now, where there was a custom pertaining to how churches are started. And I'll just give you this illustration. There was a preacher, he was rather a pugnacious type, and Brother Camp, had written a lesson and mentioned that this was merely a tradition. Brother Camp's like that. He wrote another book years ago, and the name of the book was Baptist Barnacles Without Biblical Basis. I don't know if he just likes to knock barnacles off or rub people the wrong way, but Brother Camp liked to point out that, hey, you know, maybe this is not in the Bible. So he mentioned this. Well, this preacher exploded and wrote an ugly letter, and Brother Camp said, well, he said, we as Baptists say that the Bible teaches us by precept and example. In other words, if you want to prove that what you're saying is in the Bible, either show me where the Bible teaches that or show me where we have apostolic example for that in the Holy Scripture. Well, they went back and forth, several exchanges, and Brother Camp kept saying, would you show me something in the Bible? And this fellow kept evading and saying, this is right, this is what we've always done. And finally, Brother Camp said, if you're not going to show me something in the Bible, there's no use conducting the discussion any further. And I use that illustration simply to show the power of tradition. And you say, Brother Ron, how long does it take a tradition to form? Well, that depends. If I were to start doing something and a child was born tomorrow, by the time they were 5 years old, that'd be a tradition in their mind. That's the only thing they've ever known. It doesn't take very long. There's some And you understand, not all traditions are bad. But no tradition is authoritative. Only the Word of God is authoritative. And as I have said, tradition is very simple. It's very easy. Monkey see, monkey do. I know that doesn't sound very good coming from the pulpit. But, you know, that's just a crude way of expressing the way people think. Just follow the leader. But the Word of God takes work. You know, Paul uses nasty words like study. Jesus said, how readest thou? There's some things in the Bible that are not simple. I think of many preachers today, and obviously there's things that are obviously right and obviously wrong. But there's other things that fall into the area of Christian liberty. And sometimes people just want to lay down very plain rules, and yet you can't do it. If you'd study what Paul had to say in 1st, 2nd Corinthians about Christian liberty, you'd understand that things are not always as simple as we want to make them. And so men adhere to tradition much more zealously than they do Scripture. And it's not because they intend to do that. It's because it's human nature just to follow the pattern that we see around us. It's so much simpler. Hermeneutics are the science of Bible interpretation. As I always say, you know, everybody has a hermeneutic. They may not even know what the word means, but they have a hermeneutic. Some people's hermeneutic is the Scripture means whatever my preacher says it means. And that's their hermeneutic or whatever, however I've always looked at it. I am thankful that early in my Christian life that I was challenged to compare what I believed to the Bible, because I was shaken up in some of the things, and I felt that it was no longer enough just to say, well, this is what I've always believed, but that I needed to study the Scriptures. Now, in verses 3 through 6, we learn that tradition ultimately leads us or will lead us to contradict the Scriptures. Verse 3, and here's the answer of our Lord. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now notice what Christ said. You came all the way from Jerusalem to accuse me of transgressing the tradition of the elders. But by your very tradition, you transgress the Bible. Tradition ultimately will lead you to contradict the Scriptures. Now, the Lord gave an illustration in verse 4. He says, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. The Lord quoted two Scriptures here. One of them was one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. In other words, reverence and honor and taking care of our parents and helping our parents is so important that God made it one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, let me give you another illustration. In the Old Testament, it says, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That was a capital offense, to curse father or mother. The Lord was saying, that's how important God thought it was to reverence parents. That's the Word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What would happen is a Jew could make a vow, and in that vow he could dedicate something to the Lord. But in their oral traditions, which were later written down, there were all sorts of ways of getting around this. A man could make a vow and dedicate something to the Lord, and he actually didn't even have to give it away. He could retain it in his possession indefinitely, but in this vow he dedicated it to the Lord. Now, back in this time, of course, they didn't have Social Security, and people didn't have pensions, and many times parents depended upon their children to take care of them. And so here was a son who had parents, and these parents were too old to work, and they needed help. And I wouldn't think there'd be people in the world that wouldn't help their parents, but I've lived long enough to know... That's a mistake if you think that. And so here is somebody, and they need to help their parents, and their parents maybe come and say, would you give us this amount of money? Would you do this for us? And the son says, the thing that you want or the money you want, it's Corbin or it's a gift. In other words, it's dedicated to the Lord, therefore I don't have to give it to you. Now, they could do that, That was perfectly acceptable according to Jewish tradition. But Jesus said, when you do that, you contradict some of the basic moral values of the Old Testament. Nothing in the Old Testament could be more important in our relationship to our fellow man than to honor our parents. But here, you've used these traditions to get around that. And so it is a great danger, and that is the danger of tradition. You'll find that tradition ultimately will develop to where it contradicts the Scripture. And once again, I could give you many illustrations. I could go to other denominations and give you illustrations. I could go to Baptists and give you illustrations. Now, it ought not be that way, but where men can take their traditions and contradict the Bible, contradict the plain teachings of the Holy Scripture. Now, it gets scary here. In verses 7 through 9, our Lord tells us that tradition comes from an empty heart. You say, Brother Ron, that's getting personal. Well, it was the Lord that got personal. This belief and emphasis on tradition comes from an empty heart. Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, our Lord was not saying that when Isaiah wrote those words in Isaiah 29 that he was thinking specifically of the Pharisees. But what our Lord was saying is that the sin that Isaiah was rebuking was the same sin that they were guilty of, that they were drawing near to the Lord with their heart, with their mouth, but their hearts were far from them. And he went on to say, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now let me tell you what will happen when God saves a man and fills that man's heart with the love of God. That man will begin to love the Scriptures, and he will begin to teach the Scriptures. You know, one of the little pet sayings today is Jesus is Lord. And you go down the street, and here'll be a church, and it'll have on the front of the church, Jesus is Lord. Now that sounds good, don't it? Jesus is Lord. But I want to ask you a question. How do you know? I've seen church that Jesus is Lord at such and such a church. Now how do you know Jesus is Lord at that church? It's not because you put it on the front of the church, because Jesus said there are going to be some that say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say. There's going to be some that say, Lord, Lord, and yet he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. How do you know if Jesus is Lord? Now I want to show you. You know Jesus is Lord by people's attitude toward this. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? The lordship of Jesus Christ in the life of a person is manifested by their attitude toward the Bible. You can put Jesus as Lord on the front of your church, the back of your church, both sides of the church, and on the roof of your church. And if you don't study the Bible, if you don't preach it, if you don't do the things it says, if you don't hold it higher than human traditions, if you don't bring your worship and your service in conformity to the Word of God, all your profession that Jesus is Lord is nothing but empty words. You know, when the Lord saved me and called me to preach, the one thing that was in my heart is I need to study the Bible. This is the Word of God. I remember a Bible teacher that was on the radio. I didn't know him personally, but I remember him saying this, and it's very true. He's talking about a Geiger counter. You know how a Geiger counter makes those noises when it gets near something that's radioactive? And he said, the test of whether somebody is spiritual or not is their attitude towards the Bible. It's just like a Geiger counter. The reverence they have for the Holy Scriptures and the desire they have to study the Holy Scriptures. Traditions will come. Traditions will develop. It's a very innocent thing. Like I say, one generation follows another generation. A favorite preacher does things in a certain way. And traditions will always be developing. The only, and some of them, there's nothing wrong with them, or maybe there's nothing wrong with them the way they start out. I think it was Chuck that was told me this, and if not, I don't remember who it was, but, and I'm not making fun of people, but I want to just show you how human beings are. Talking about, you go down in the mountains, and I heard this when I was a child, the preachers would get very excited when they preach, and they go, and again, I'm not making fun, but you wonder, now, where did something like, why would it ever have entered into anybody's mind to preach like that? We don't talk like that. Why would you preach like that? And the man, I think it was Lorenzo Dow, a famous Methodist preacher, and he was very popular and used, and he had asthma. And he'd get so excited and start preaching, and then it wouldn't be very long until he was, because that's the way you do when you've got asthma. But all the young preachers, that's the way they wanted to preach. And, you know, I use that crude expression, monkey see, monkey do. And you get a famous preacher, and every young preacher want to do just like he does. And you know what you have in this country? Is these big conferences. Some preacher will build a large church, and then the next thing he'll do, he'll have a yearly conference for people to come and learn how he did it. And people will flock to these conferences. I want to do it like this fellow did it. He was successful. Folks, whatever happened to preachers getting alone with the Bible? This is the inspired book. I heard Brother Gormley use this illustration years ago, talking about the ministry. He said that he had begun working in sheet metal, and that he learned that when you cut out a pattern and you're going to make a lot of something, that you took your pattern that you'd cut out and you put a P on it. And every time you cut something out, you use the pattern. And he said if you took the pattern and you cut something out and then you laid the pattern aside and you used the thing you just cut out, and you kept doing that and kept switching patterns, pretty soon your product wouldn't look anything like the original pattern. You know, you could take a paper rabbit or a wood rabbit and you could use that as a pattern. You could cut out rabbits all day. But if you started cutting out rabbits and every time you cut out a rabbit, you'd put the pattern over here and take the next rabbit, and pretty soon the rabbits would look like elephants or giraffes. You wouldn't know what they'd look like. Folks, the way to do work in a Baptist church is not to run up to Hammond, Indiana to see how somebody else is doing. It's to go back to the book of Acts, back to the New Testament, back where the P is, back to the pattern. How many churches are so far from the Word of God, and they don't have a clue, and they walk around with a Bible under their arm, and they have no idea how far they've got from the pattern. And so, there is nothing that will save us from the encroachment of tradition but a love for Jesus Christ that causes us to search the Scriptures and to bow to the Scriptures and to do what the Scriptures teach, regardless of even the price that might have to be paid. And so traditions come from an empty heart. The reason that traditions are so simple is because it takes love for God to study the Scriptures, to obey the Scriptures, to really understand. You know, as a pastor, you grow weary of people coming to visit a church and they sit there and they listen to you open the Bible and they preach and they go off and say, well, that wasn't the way it was in our church. You know, how are you ever going to get anywhere if you don't come back to the Bible? If you don't study the Scriptures for yourself? And so tradition comes from an empty heart, from people who are content to teach for doctrines the commandments of men, people whose mouths draw near the Lord, but their hearts are empty and not really in it. Another thing that our Lord taught here is that tradition will ultimately redefine sin. Now notice verse 10. They had attacked the Lord over this matter of washing. And again, this had nothing to do with hygiene. This had to do with the ceremonial law and these traditions that they had introduced. And they actually taught, you know, that a person that would wash their hands, that man, this was a prerequisite for going to heaven, to carefully wash in the way of the elders. And so in verse 10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, But that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now notice, our Lord is saying something here. He said, now listen to me. He said, these fellows came all the way from Jerusalem. I mean, the ecclesiastical big shots came all the way from Jerusalem down to Galilee to straighten me out and to infer that we were sinners because my disciples are eating food and they have not washed their hands according to the Jewish traditions. He said, let me tell you something. It's not what goes in the mouth. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Now in verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto them, declare unto us this parable. And Peter spoke out and he said, explain really what you're saying. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth and goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? Now what our Lord, he was talking about the digestive system, the word drought there, we could say the privy or the latrine. That's what the word means. Lord was saying, man, you know, you eat food, it goes through your digestive system, and just, you know, that has nothing to do with the spiritual life of a man. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, notice, they did not come down from Jerusalem to talk about immorality, blasphemy, uncleanness, dishonesty. That wasn't their concern. Their concern was somebody eating with hands that had not been ceremonially cleansed. It reminds me, years ago, and I don't use this illustration simply to pick on people, but because it illustrates exactly what I'm saying. And as I say, we're human beings. We want to apply these things to ourselves. I remember when I was in high school, just going through the line there and the cafeteria line, and it was Friday, and the fellow in front of me was not allowed to eat fish on Friday. So we got up there to where the fish was and didn't look very good. And he said, oh, blankety blank, I'm going to have to go to confession. I said, why? He said, well, I'm not going to eat that fish. I'm going to have to get one of these hamburgers. And I said, well, why do you have to go to confession? And he turned around, he blankety blank, it's a mortal sin, you blankety blank. Now, you see, in the mind of this individual, he was very concerned about eating something he wasn't supposed to eat on a certain day. Now, when it came to cursing and swearing and all kinds of unclean thought and language, that didn't make any difference. Now you say, isn't that terrible, Brother Ron? Yes, and that is human nature. That is human nature. I've been around churches, you know, that they were so strong against anybody smoking a cigarette. Now you could gossip about somebody or hate somebody in your heart or have an unforgiving spirit, but you know, God forbid that you had a Marlboro. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to be careful. Tradition will end up redefining sin. Sin is a spiritual matter. Sin is something that has to do with the heart. That's where it begins. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. And yet, isn't it amazing? And you can see this around the world. And you see this in many different religions. That religions can have traditions that have to do with prayer or saying prayers or certain ceremonies. And buddy, as long as you keep them traditions, you're fine. Now, you can hate, you can kill, you can blaspheme, you can be immoral. Doesn't make any difference. Just keep the rules. But I want to tell you again, you say, well, that's good. Let them have it. They need to be straightened up. Now, that's not going to help us any. I want to say it again, that people do those things because they're men. Men are fallen. We are men. And you're going to find out that we might not have the same traditions, but we are capable of the same sort of thinking if we are not careful. The same sort of thinking. Judging somebody not because they don't line up with the Bible, but because they don't line up with our idea or line up with our tradition. And so tradition will end up redefining sin. And then at the close, our Lord turns and has something to say about the teachers of tradition. First of all, he mentions that they are offended at the truth. Notice verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this? Now, why did the disciples say this? Well, I mean, these are the bigwigs. This is the intelligentsia. These are the doctors. These fellows came all the way from Galilee or from Jerusalem. These were rabbis whose names undoubtedly they'd heard and maybe revered. And they come down to speak to the Lord. And you know, the Lord was pretty gentle with people that didn't know much. But you get him around a bunch of Pharisees in an ivory tower and he'd scathe them. And the disciples found out that our Lord wasn't impressed with the big shots from Jerusalem. And they came to him and they said, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? First thing that I might mention is that people who adhere to tradition as their authority will always be offended at the truth. Always be offended at the truth. Maybe there's somebody listening here in this audience tonight. Maybe somebody on the TV will listen and you say, Preacher, you offend me. Now, ask yourself. Perhaps, if not, you're in the same boat with the people that were offended at the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried to be fair in expounding this, but these men were offended at the Lord Jesus. All he pointed out was that your traditions have no authority. By your traditions, you have contradicted the Word of God, and your adherence to the tradition comes from an empty heart that doesn't care to study the Bible and honor God in that way. And they were offended at the truth. And I say it again, you want to offend people? Just start messing with traditions. You know, you can get in the pulpit and you can say just about anything if you word it right, but just fool with the traditions if you want to offend somebody, and you'll offend somebody. I've noticed this. I have never gotten offended with a person who came to me in a right spirit and wanted to show me something out of the Bible. Now, I might agree with them, I might not agree with them. If it's something I haven't looked at before, I'd be glad to look at it. And somebody may come and disagree with me, and I see an honest attempt on their part to understand the Scriptures, and that doesn't offend me. But I've noticed when you start dealing with somebody's tradition, you're going to offend somebody. That's the nature of man. It was the nature of man 2,000 years ago. It was the nature of man 4,000 years ago. It is the nature of man today. You say, then why would we ever bother to offend such? Well, in verse 14, Jesus said, Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. The reason that we would bother to offend teachers of tradition is because they will ultimately destroy themselves and others. Leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And the Scripture often quote, If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. When ministers stand in the pulpit, they need to open the Bible and they need to expound the Word of God. That is the only way to be faithful to the souls of men. If we get up and preach our opinions and our traditions and the way Brother so-and-so used to do it. I used to hear a famous preacher, he's dead now, and he would get up and he'd lambast preachers and he'd say, They've torn down the altars our fathers have reared up. I don't give a hoot about what our fathers have reared up. I've got 27 books of the New Testament that are my authority. Talk about, you know, they tore down the altar that Grandpa put up. It don't matter what Grandpa put up. You're supposed to be studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. That is the authority. And so they destroy themselves and others. And then what they teach shall ultimately not stand. Look in verse 13. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. They said, Don't you know that these men are offended at you? And the Lord said, It doesn't matter. When a man plants something that's not of the heavenly Father, ultimately it's going to be rooted up. Now, you know, the Lord, that's what he was doing. He was rooting it up. You go out in your garden, you pull up weeds. That's what the Lord was doing. He was pulling weeds out of the garden. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm pulling weeds out. You know, you start pulling weeds out of some people's gardens, they get mad. But Jesus said every root, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted should be rooted up. And ultimately, this is what's going to take place. When we stand before God, every truth based upon the Word of God is going to stand. Every practice, every act of worship, every act of service based on the Word of God is going to stand. And everything else is going to be rooted up. Now, I want to state again to you, if I wanted to do so, I could go through the religions of the world tonight, and I could deal with a million different traditions. But the only thing that I would prove is that that is the nature of men. That we're all like that. That we find it so much easier to follow customs and habits. We find it so much easier. The past lends the charm. But that it is only as we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and truly care to study the Bible, not try to interpret the Bible through our traditions, not try to beat it into our mold, but honestly study the Word of God. That is the only true proof of love toward Jesus Christ and the only way ultimately to avoid the tyranny of tradition. And that is an open and honest study of the Word of God illuminated by the Holy Spirit.